This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco back in for Boomer this morning. Good Tuesday morning. A Subway Series finale to talk about last night as the Mets beat the Yankees at their own game. A whole bunch of home runs and some decent pitching, and that's exactly what they got. And really the big story out of this is another subpar Severino start for the Yankees, because we kind of know where they're going to end up. They're going to end up in that wild card game. And right now, I don't know who's pitching it, to be quite honest with you. I was going to say Tanaka, but the last time we saw him, six earned runs in like a blink of an eye. And if Severino doesn't right this ship and doesn't figure it out, the Yankees don't feel like a championship team without him performing like the ace we saw early on in the year. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Good morning, Greg. How are you? Yeah, boy, it's funny. The ups and downs of a baseball season. It's a marathon, not a sprint, right? And for much of this season, I looked at the Yankees as a no-doubt championship-contending team, and they still very well might be. And you look at the lineup, and when they get healthy, they will be. Right now, though, forget the lineup and put that aside. But you just mentioned it. Luis Severino looks like a shell of himself. CC Sabathia, who's been really very steady all year, we find out yesterday after he threw the seven innings and gets the win, oh, he's on the DL. Now, they think it'll only be a start, maybe two, and that's it. But still, he goes on the DL. Tanaka, who we were looking at last week, is, hey, this could be the guy to start a wild card game. Not great last time out. Chance Adams? It is amazing how things have changed in the span, really, of a week. In terms of what, I know Severino's been not great for a few weeks now, but everything seems like it's just going the wrong direction for the Yankees all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, the feel around them as opposed to the feel around the Red Sox is completely different. I mean, even after the Yankees took care of business against the White Sox and then the Rangers 3 out of 4, and this is just one game and it's the Mets, so obviously it's going to be a little bit more amplified here this morning because it is the Mets and that lineup stinks and they hit 5 home runs. But really, it's about Severino's handful of starts. It's about Severino's last month playing. Plus, yeah. I mean, and the Yankees, the reason why we loved the Yankees so much to be that championship contender wasn't just about the lineup.
No, the pitching was good.
Right, but I mean, anchored by him. I mean, yes, we had issues as you go through the staff, and of course, Brian Cashman adding guys like Happ and Lynn, and we've talked about that a ton, but I mean, we were talking about they don't need to go get an ace because they've got an ace. Severino is the ace. It was just a month or two ago, we're talking about him, Cy Young, and DeGrom, Cy Young. You got two guys in New York that are just lighting it up. I mean, right now, and it's not like he was getting smacked around like crazy last night because Yankee Stadium, as we know, can yield some home runs that you don't feel like are really deserving of being home runs, but I mean, right now he's lost the benefit of the doubt. Like, there's no more excuse making for Severino because he needs to be great for the Yankees to be great.
Yeah, there's no question. And I stand corrected, too, because I sat here with you and told you, and maybe Boomer as well, I would not have gone out and gotten a couple of pitchers. You know, they went out, they got Lance Lynn. I'm like, oh, that's good. And then they got Happ. I'm like, all right, fine. Boy, it's a hell of a move right now when you look back that they've got those two guys because they might be the two that will anchor the rotation now for the next month, which is amazing when you just look back 4 or 5 weeks to where it was to where it is now. And back to Severino in terms of what he did last night. Forget what he gave up. And yes, the Rosario home run is a pop fly to right, but they're playing in that stadium too, so it works both ways, and we've always discussed that. Bautista had a couple of good swings off him. I thought he homered the first time. Turned out it went to the wall. Then he did homer the second time. It's more than that to me. It's the pitch count. I mean, I'm looking in the first, I think it was 28 pitches in the first inning. I said to my son as I'm watching him, like, he's not going to be long for this game. And while the announcers, and that's another story for another time later maybe, while they necessarily didn't bring it up, you know, Aaron Boone brought up the chase rate in the post-game press conference. And I know a lot of these new terms we're talking about are kind of goofy, but he did make the point that, you know what, the Mets weren't chasing pitches that might otherwise look good. They just didn't have the bite on them, and the Mets weren't going after those pitches that were just out of the zone.
Right, and not to get too technical about it, because then Boomer goes, "Why don't you just go over and talk to Evan Roberts about it?
I know.
But, I mean, when he's not locating the fastball the way that he was, the effectiveness of the slider goes away, because one of the great things about him was that slider would look like a fastball, and then, boom, it would be gone. But if he's missing with the fastball and guys are taking all the time, then all of a sudden it's just, it's take, 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 and then we're walking, and then all of a sudden you've got the pitch count going up and you're fouling pitches off. So, yeah, I mean, it just doesn't seem like that fastball location is where it needs to be for him to be able to be effective with all of his pitches. And, you know, I don't know what you do other than just keep throwing them out there, go back, watch film of him early in the season when he was dominating. I don't think it's a time, especially with CC Sabathia going to miss a start or two, where you got to say, all right, well, maybe Severino has to miss a start, or maybe we have to look deeper into figuring out what's wrong with him and not throw him out there every 5 days right now. I don't think you do that yet. But I mean, two more of these, then you really have to think about it. I mean, that's when it's time to lose your mind and do something drastic with him to try to get him right. But, I mean, right now I think you just got to hope that the next couple of starts he finds himself. And guys go up and down through these long seasons, these starting pitchers. So, I mean, he could, especially with his talent, his track record this season, he could come back and dominate the rest of the year. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
No, it's not. You know, Boone, talking about the rest, he was asked about that afterwards, too. And he said, you know, one of the reporters said, does he need an extended time off? You need to skip a start, do something like that. And he said, well, you know, he had about 10, 11 days around the All-Star break, aside from the one inning he pitched in that game. So it's not like he didn't have some time off. He didn't have a little time to kind of get the arm back in shape. And, you know, you ask Severino watching his press conference, he's like, I'm fine. I'm just not locating, is essentially what he said. He's not fine, though, because as you point out, in the last 7-8 starts, whatever the exact number is, he's thrown to an ERA of almost 8. That is not ace-like. That's not even average. That's really bad. The one thing about last night, too, and I know it's a second guess, except for the fact that I said it when it happened. You bring out A.J. Cole.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fine. He gives up the one home run. He gets you through the inning. Why are you bringing him back out for the second inning?
Well, I mean, because your starter only went 4 innings.
I understand.
You can't just be burning through everybody all the time.
And I'm usually the first person to say more than an inning once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, where is Tommy Kahnle in the minors?
Yeah.
Like, these are the best options you have.
I mean, when your starter, who is someone you count on and going deep into a game against one of the worst lineups in baseball, only goes 4 innings.
I 98 pitches, 4 innings. I know that. I'm looking at, all right, Green comes out first. Then you got Cole into Contos. I don't know. No disrespect.
Cole into Contos. Yeah. Not Cole and to Contos.
You know what I mean.
Which almost sounds the
and
same.
And Contos was fine.
Right,
but
yeah.
It's just like, you're looking at, like, who are these guys?
No, I know. It was Met-like in the sense, right?
Betances, Robertson, Kahnle somewhere in Scranton, Wilkes-Barre.
But, like, Jerry, you know this better than anybody. Yay. It's middle relief in Major League Baseball. It's a wasteland.
I guess I think they have better options.
Well, they do later in games, but they certainly don't in middle relief. Hey, anybody, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Detroit Tigers, or the Mets, your starter goes 3 or 4 innings, you're getting into that underbelly with a lot of slop. And that's what happened last night.
Slop.
You got a lot of slop.
Oh, you got slop. Give up 3 home runs?
Yeah, I know.
3.
And how about the Mets hitting 5 home runs? A couple of cheapies in there, but still.
So what?
5 home runs
they
for them.
They count in that stadium. You know, it wasn't a cheapie. Michael Conforto going the other way.
Sure. Well, and Nimmo's wasn't
Nimmo's
either.
Home run was a laser.
Right.
You know, they did the job. And yeah, I actually thought in this second inning, I guess it was, when he strikes out, was it Conforto with the bases loaded? Whoever it was, when he gets out of the bases loaded jam in the second, because I thought the Mets had a great chance to blow that game open right there, and he gets out of it, I'm like, you know what? They just gave him the opening, and then they score, they tie the game, and I really figured the Yankees would figure out a way to go out and win that game, and Bautista's home run was huge because it gave the Mets life again, and DeGrom, who, you know, he wasn't great last night. I mean, he was good. He wasn't great, and he still fights his way into the seventh, and didn't want to come out. I mean, he still fights his way into the seventh inning and was good enough and nice that he actually got some run support and he evens up his record.
Yeah, and his ERA goes up just slightly, just up a tick, but I mean, that's going to be a tough thing for him to finish the season
under two. And if he does, and Scherzer does not, I mean, I think that he'll get the Cy Young. And I think that's, you know, it's been a big discussion point at this juncture. I think for the most part, it's pretty easy to me. I mean, if Scherzer's got an ERA of 1.95 and DeGrom's got an ERA of 1.85, then Scherzer's going to get the Cy Young.
Probably.
But if Scherzer's got a 2.4 ERA and DeGrom's got a 1.9 ERA, then it's probably going to be Jacob DeGrom. So, I mean, I've said this before. I'm not huge on the individual award stuff and the debate and back and forth, and it's sports writers who vote on it, but it would be a nice little consolation prize for the Met fan who has stuck with the team. The guy yesterday who was extolling the virtues of Austin Jackson and everybody else. A nice little nugget for them to have at the end of
the year.
Don't
think,
you know?
I wasn't thinking of you, Jeff McNeil, twice last night.
He
had the base hit. He drove in the run with two outs.
Okay.
And I was thinking of you, and I was actually going to text you. And then when he sailed the ball and almost hit Keith Olbermann's mom again,
I know.
I opted. All right, I'm glad
right.
I didn't say something.
And that was like right after they did the Knobloch piece on,
yes,
on the Olbermann's mom.
Which
and then
is funny.
Boom, there he goes.
Why is Todd Frazier not? Was that Gardner? Tag him out.
Yeah, I know.
He's right in front of you.
I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking.
You had a chance for at least two that way. Tag second.
Right. Guy's a veteran. He should be thinking that. Didn't happen. You mentioned the broadcast. And like normally it's the low-hanging fruit, and nobody likes a national broadcast, right? Because baseball fans...
I'm not that way. I like Buck. I like Vasgersian. I'm really not that way. But go ahead, finish.
Okay, so generally a baseball fan, especially in baseball, because you have all the games where you got 162 games of your guys, you don't want to hear someone else do the game. So that's why no matter how good a broadcaster is, if it's like Joe Buck, you're saying, that's not my guy. He doesn't talk about my team the way these guys do. He doesn't know. He's dropping in out of nowhere. But generally, he's a good play-by-play guy. I mean, last night was a flat-out travesty.
Did you like the way Brandon Nemo runs the first?
I mean, how do you not know,
I don't know
how to pronounce these guys' names?
I don't know.
Like, we'll have a mishap here or there, on the air.
I'll have many of them.
Right, like, it happened. So I don't want to say we're above that. But if you're doing that game to mispronounce multiple names throughout, and then like this is like the new thing that they do on Sunday Night Baseball, and now, you know, last night with this crew, it's like big discussion pieces during the game. And I don't think fans like that at all.
It's not necessary.
I mean, like, all right, the Olbermann mom thing was fun. I'll give him that.
I did like that.
But, like, the long discussion pieces, and then here's Keith Olbermann trying to defend Jacob DeGrom for the Cy Young and he's getting heated about it. And then, you know, Tim Kirkchen, who I think, he seems like a nice enough guy.
He's a good baseball guy.
I mean, he sits in there and laughs the whole time. You know, I mean, he's just cackling. And then Eduardo Perez, one of the weirdest voices on earth. Like, someone tweeted, he said, it sounds like David Deal if David Deal had a bubble in his throat. Isn't that the perfect description of that?
I guess.
I mean, if you listen, it was like the perfect description. But no, it was horrendous. And Keith Olbermann is just... he's just one of those insufferable people.
They actually made fun of his first home run call.
Yeah, I mean, it was awful.
I forget what it was. So Rosario hits the home run, and he almost seemed like unprepared to have a home run call.
Right.
And a couple of minutes later, Kirkchen made some comment, and then he responded, and Kirkchen said, well, at least that was better than your home run call was. I mean, my God. I will say this about Olbermann. He did poke fun at himself a couple of times. He's like, hey, listen, I was just the employee that was available tonight.
Yeah, but like that shouldn't be the case, right? And I know he's a big baseball guy. He's always been a big baseball guy. But he's a polarizing figure. Like when you think about play-by-play guys and what type of attributes those guys should have, polarizing should not be one of them. I mean, is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, he's been synonymous with ESPN, though. I know what you're saying.
But it's all the politics stuff. I mean, it's...
But do you think of that when you're watching the game? Oh, I don't.
Of course I don't.
No, I don't, because I think of Keith... when I see Keith Olbermann do a game like last night, I think of Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick SportsCenter. That's what I think of. I actually can separate the two. He's so far
removed from that.
Unless he breaks into an anti-Obama or an anti-Trump or something like that during a game he's doing, I honestly don't even give that a thought.
Yeah,
I'm watching the game. And to your point about what they do on the broadcast, it's not necessary. Just give us the game.
I know.
Now, I will from time to time enjoy an A-Rod piece with a player. I do, because I find he still could play if he wanted to. Maybe not well anymore, but he could still play if he wanted to. And I feel like he's still on their level, and I like watching them talk baseball. Okay. From time to time, some of them are a swing and a miss. Some of them are pretty good. I don't need any of the other stuff, though, and it's too much.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking last night because there came a point where it was just mute. You know, I did not want to hear any more of the broadcast. You know, if you just played these games with just the ambient sound of the game,
sure,
and removed an announcer on a national broad, like if you were given that option, how many people would take that option?
Not as many as you think. I don't think as many as you think.
Just on like a national broadcast.
No, because
I love the hometown guys. I do.
Think the broadcast still adds something, and I'm having fun with this. I wasn't as bothered by the broadcast last night. I mean, I found it more funny, more than anything. And I really don't get crazy over the announcers, even if they're quote unquote against your team. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
Just watch the game win, and then you can be for your team. But to me, the announcers at least give you some of the. X's and O's probably isn't the right thing, but some little tidbits throughout the game. If you're prepared, you know, then you're prepared. I thought the Syndergaard stuff was good.
Yeah, he was okay. I mean, he's a little bit more aloof than I want him to be.
He is, but he had the little joke, and
right,
they showed the picture
and mouth,
of him.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's like, which one? There's a lot of bad ones.
The fat little kid.
Yeah, right.
It was funny.
Yeah, it was.
Little things like that can add to a broadcast. But it's just, again, I don't get crazy over it, but... Not great.
No, that was not. It was not a good one.
Not going to the Hall of Fame.
Right. No, it was. It's certainly
fair.
So Eddie was telling me in my ear that they did try that many, many years ago on a football broadcast with the Jets and Dolphins.
It was a Monday night game, wasn't it?
The Silent Bowl.
I think it might have been the last game of the year, 1980.
Right. I thought that was a night game. I didn't realize that.
Dolphins
okay.
were 8-8 that year.
Yeah, but I mean, in football. I feel like in baseball.
Well, it's different
easier.
Now, though, because you have the graphics on the screen.
Right.
In 1980, there were no graphics on the screen.
Right.
Now, I mean, you can follow along, especially in baseball now. If you wanted to do that, you have the pitch count up, the miles per hour. In some cases, with some broadcasts around the country, they'll even tell you what type of a pitch it was. Was that a slider, a fastball, a cutter? And you've got the little box with the diamond that shows you where guys are on base. So you really can follow a game without the announcers in baseball. Football, I think, is a little more complicated.
How about that review before we go to break, Les? How long did that take? And that's the perfect example. Conforto, the tag at second base, comes off the bag for a split second. I mean, that review and instant replay in baseball should not be that, right? I mean, that was the exact example of what it should not be.
I agree with you. I totally agree.
It pops off the bag for a split second. You got to look at it for 5 minutes. It slows down the whole game. And that annoyed
and
the
hell
out
of me. And that's it, too. If it's taking that long... Move on.
Yeah, right.
Like, it shouldn't take that long.
All right, well, we're going to stick with the call on the field.
Right, if you don't... Think about this. You are looking at it in slow motion.
Yeah.
If these guys are expected to make the call in real time, if you get two looks at it in slow motion and you don't know, move on.
That's it, right.
You don't look at it for a half hour.
I go to Eric and Trumbull quick. What's going on, Eric? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, Eric. What you got?
That broadcast was brutal last night, man. I turned it on, and my 9-year-old son looks at me, and he goes, Dad, who are these guys? He goes, let's turn it off and go in the car and listen to Susan and the radio broadcast.
There you go.
I couldn't agree with him more. I kind of hoped a foul ball would go up and hit Overman in the face so he would just shut up.
No, no. Well, you know what's funny about that, Eric, is after they did the Overman, his mom piece getting hit with the ball, they had a foul ball that went up, he said, right over our head.
Right, right, I know. So, that would have been poetic justice.
That would have been interesting.
For sure.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.